Waiting and patience. If you're at all like me, you struggle with that a bit. Pastor Jeff shares these thoughts as we wait for the Lord's return.
Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is drawing near. Now, Paul wrote this to them back then. How much nearer is it in our time? How much closer is it today? So, have some more patience, guys. It is all going to come exactly like the Lord said. Isaiah says it this way, wait upon the Lord and you'll what? You'll renew your strength. We need strength right now, but we need to learn to wait for the precious fruit, for that which is coming. And as we do, we got that hope that purifies us.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless love, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
We live in a world full of bad news. Reminded of that every time we turn on the news, from mass shootings to inflation out of control or people dying unexpectedly. And if that's all there was to look forward to, well, there'd simply be no hope. Today on Sound Doctrine, we'll see the hope that we have in Jesus and what awaits us in heaven. We pray you're left with an encouraged heart. We'll be covering Romans chapter 8, verses 20 through 27 with Pastor Jeff Johnson.
In verse 20, it talks about that vanity. It talks about there's that hunger to fill it. But Jesus is the only one who can fill and satisfy it. So the answer is not in this world. It's God so loved the world, he gave his son. Therein is the answer. But man continues to think that these things in this world will do it. Never works. Now, notice in verse 21, he says, but this world is full of bondage of corruption. And that's what we're delivered from as soon as we come to the Lord. Bondage and corruption. I love it. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So we are groaning and creation is groaning. And we're all growing together here. But there's three realms that we're groaning in. The first is in creation, the groaning that goes on in creation. It's kind of in the minor key, that groaning. In other words, it's like a woman in childbirth. That's minor key, man. Screaming, you know, in a very minor key, in pain. Why is this groaning this way? It's because of sin. It's because of the curse upon this world. Waiting for the release from the endless cycle of corruption. The world is groaning. The world is travailing. I would say earthquakes is a groaning, wouldn't you? I would say volcanic eruptions is a groaning. And isn't it interesting that they're happening in places they've never happened before, and they're happening more and more? What do you think the world is doing? It's in travail. It's groaning. The world is doing that. There's pollution, animal extinction, there's pain, there's death. But you say, Jeff, but nature's so beautiful. The rainforest, man, they're so awesome. The jungles and all the creatures, and oh, it's so great. Here's a woman now that's studying animals in the wild, and she decides there to take a swim in the river. As she takes the swim in the river, a crocodile comes and removes her arm. What's that all about? Is there beauty in that? No, there's not beauty in that. I mean, I was thinking of that one sister in the Lord over there in Kauai that's out surfing with her friends, and she's out there, and a shark just comes up and takes her arm right off, and it's just gone, and there's blood just spewing out. One of the guys that was surfing with her had the wherewithal to take the leash and tie it around and stop the flow, or she would have been dead on the spot. And now she's, you know, going around speaking and surfing. She's winning contests with one arm. God turns it around. But isn't it ugly? I mean, look at that shark just took her arm right off. And you say, well, yeah, it's beautiful. Well, I was in Karen's home's office. She's our bookkeeper. She had this little cage. I said, what's in the cage? She goes, that's a little praying mantis. And I said, oh, and her son Brian had caught it. And I looked in the cage, and it's pretty big. It's about this big. And, you know, praying mantis, are, you know, with their hands like this. So they call them praying mantis. It's P-R-A-Y-I-N-G. But, you know, they should call them P-R-E-I-N-G, praying. Why? Because she started to share with me how they're feeding it. And what they do to feed it is they get crickets in the backyard and they throw the cricket into the cage and they sit there and wait and watch. And as they're waiting and watching, the praying mantis is going, dun-dun, 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 dun-dun. And real slow. You really have patience, I guess. And finally, you know, and got the cricket, right? And then he just bites the head off. And I go, oh, okay. But then I wanted to share with her what I've learned about praying mantis. That after they, you know, mate with their mate, they chew the head off. Now that's a grumpy wife. I mean, ugly. And you go, whoa, man. Where's the love? Come on. And she goes, don't tell me that, you know. I said, you ought to take that praying mantis and feed it to Anita's lizard in the biology lab. We can have a warfare, you know, I don't, yeah. But I'm thinking, wow, you know, when you really look at it, that delicate flower, beautiful flowers, devastating floods. And I thought, you know what? Nature is brutal. That's what it is. It's full on brutal. But this is not what God created. What's going on? There's something wrong here. I mean, having all these attacks and this flooding and this craziness and the weather and everything. God said when he created everything, it is good. It is good. What good is that? And we sometimes are thrown back by it, not understanding that it's because of the sin and the curse that these things have happened. But I started thinking about Isaiah and what Isaiah said. One of these days, soon and very soon, when we return with the Lord, we have this hope again. There is the hope that God is going to set everything up. And Isaiah says this, that the trees and the hills are going to clap their hands. They're going to be in total harmony. Everything's going to be in total harmony. The lion's going to lay down with the lamb. Isn't that great? I mean, that which devoured is no longer devouring. And it says in Isaiah 11:8, the child will find itself playing on the hole of an asp. An asp is the most dangerous serpent in the world today. One little bite, you're dead. But a child will be playing with that snake. The curse will be lifted, will be removed, and there'll be beautiful harmony soon and very soon. And that's coming, when everything's going to be back in order like God wanted it to be. Looking forward to that. Verse 23, so the whole creation groaneth, and not only they, but ourselves also, somebody else is groaning, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So we as believers also are groaning within, especially when you get out of the shower and look at the mirror. Well, I don't know how you groan, but you know, there's different groans that come from that. We still live in this old tent. And I love what Paul says about our bodies. They're like tents that get hard, crack, leak. Don't last long. But we have a body which is eternal in the heavens, created by God, that he's going to give to us. Not a tent, but a full-on body that's going to last forever and ever and ever. So the Bible calls these bodies that we have bodies of death. Someone said this. I think it's true. We ripen when we're about 21 years of age, and then we begin to rot thereafter. No, okay. Yeah, you can believe it or not, but I don't know. I just, that's what somebody said. We are so limited. Listen, when you think about it, we groan as our bodies are going down, and we do groan. We can't fight it. We can't hide it. It's hard to hide. You can try. You can use color, paint, whatever, you know. But you can't hide it forever, and you just can't fight it. It just happens. They will not, these bodies will not, cannot enter into God's kingdom. That's what the Bible says. These bodies of flesh and blood. In fact, over in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Let me read it to you. Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies. Vile, it says. Vile bodies. That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. I like that. So the Lord is going to change us. There's a transformation like a caterpillar that is limited and walks across the hot pavement of the asphalt and goes, ooh, ow, ooh, ow, ooh, ow, you know, trying to get across the street. And then it takes a long time. And then finally gets, wow. You know, but then it puts itself in a branch or on a fence and gets into a cocoon. Something very strange happens there. God gives us this little look into, you know, nature and his creation. And out of that cocoon comes this beautiful, and you know, caterpillars are ugly, but this beautiful butterfly with many different colors, and it's just free to soar. I mean, what a transformation that is. From that to that. That's what God's going to do with these bodies, these vile bodies. Give us a new body, eternal, to be just soaring with the Lord. And that's our hope. That's his promise to us. This corruption must put on incorruption. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4, he says, for we that are in this tabernacle, again, this tent, we're groaning, he says. If you're not groaning, you will. You go, oh, what's this pain? Oh, my teeth. I need a root canal, you know. And you just go from one thing to another. We groan, being burned, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, and mortality might be swallowed up of life. In other words, when we leave these bodies, to be absent from this body is to be what? Present with the Lord in our new bodies that he has made for us. You just read the whole chapter there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You're going to get so blessed. That's our hope, guys. And that's why when one of our loved ones die and they go home to be with the Lord, we have such hope. Oh, we weep. We cry. But we don't sorrow as those that have no hope, because we believe that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again. And so we have hope. We continue on because we know we're going to go home to be with them. We're going to be joining up. They're on a vacation, you know. It's a beautiful vacation, you know. And they're with the Lord. We're the ones struggling. We which are alive and remain, we're trying to get through this place still with all of the groanings and the growings and everything that we're experiencing. But they're there, and we've got that hope. So, verse 24, Romans chapter 8, he says, oh, and then that waiting for the adoption. Oh, the waiting. The waiting is for the final redemption, that our bodies will totally be redeemed. Right now, my soul's redeemed. I'm in a corrupt body. But then I'm going to have my new body. A new soul, I mean, everything's new. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved, verse 24, by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we with patience wait for it. Waiting for the adoption, waiting for what we're hoping for. I love, you know, the songs we sang. It had a lot to do with waiting. Waiting on the Lord, waiting for him to come, waiting him to do the things he said he's going to do. This is faith. We need to have faith. We walk in faith that all that he has said he's going to do, because he's done everything so far that he said he's going to do in my life. I don't know about you. He is faithful. His word is faithful. And I found that over the years. And he'll be faithful. And he'll go ahead and he'll do everything he said he's going to do. So that is hope. That is faith. Titus says it this way. Titus is that brother right after Timothy. And Paul, sharing with Titus, says this. This is in Titus 2:13. Listen, Titus, look for that blessed hope. Keep your eyes up for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul says here. Jesus is not only our Savior, he's our God. Because he's God. He's God incarnate, isn't he? It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Here it is, Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope, the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Just looking for that which is coming. We continue to have hope. And we wait with what? Patience. James says this about patience. James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and he has long patience for it, until he receives the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is drawing near. Now, Paul wrote this to them back then. How much nearer is it in our time? How much closer is it today? So have some more patience, guys. It is all going to come exactly like the Lord said. Isaiah says it this way. Wait upon the Lord and you'll what? You'll renew your strength. And we need strength right now. But we need to learn to wait for the precious fruit, for that which is coming. And as we do, we got that hope that purifies us. So, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So here we have now, likewise, the word likewise means as creation groans, as the creature groans, as we groan, there is another groaning on our behalf. And it's by the Spirit of the Lord. He helps us overcome our weaknesses by helping us to pray. I like this. We don't understand how to pray as we should. So he's there to help us. Here's what I know I don't know. I know this, that I don't know God's perfect will for everything. So when it comes to praying about everything, I don't know how to pray sometimes. I just don't. So what do you do when you come to that point where you just don't know how to pray for that situation or that person, and you want to pray correctly? Well, the Spirit then comes and helps us. Now, let me say this right up front, that prayer never is to direct God. We are not to give directions to God. You're not to come up to him and say, God, I want this car and I want it now. In Jesus' name. Is that weird or what? That's like the pot saying to the potter, you know, hey, you know, why'd you make me this way, you know? What are you talking about? You know, he's the one in control. We're never telling him what to do. Over in Isaiah chapter 40, in verse 13, listen to this, jot it down, Isaiah 40, verse 13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Who has told the Spirit of the Lord what to do? Or being his counselor has taught him? I mean, who is the counselor of the Lord? Who do we think we are? We can't counsel God. He counsels us. You know, we don't tell him what to do. He tells us what to do. And that's just the fact. So I was thinking about this. Jeremiah, he prayed, God, save Israel. And God answered Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, shut up. No, he didn't say it that way. It's paraphrased. He said, be quiet. And God explained it. He said, Israel must be taken to fulfill prophecy. And they must be dealt with in order to, you know, learn their lesson about idolatry. So here's Jeremiah's praying one way and God's moving another way. And so God help us, you know, and to understand this. We don't know how we're to pray. So we need to ask the Lord to help us in our prayer life. And God, may God help us to quit chirping. You know what a chirping is? A chirping noise? It's when your fire alarm, the battery goes out. It goes, eek! Eek! What is that? Eek! And you just, I can't stand it. Oh my God, it's a fire thing. We got to change it. And you'd go for a battery right away. And you want to stop the chirping. See, sometimes our prayers are like chirping. They're just annoying to God. And he's going, why are you praying for that? Because. I know what's going on. You do? You know, that's amazing. No, not my will be done, Lord, yours be done, right? We're learning, we're being humbled. And may God stop the chirping all the way around. and meaningless cliches when we pray that, oh God, save America. That's a chirping. What are you talking about? I want God to save America. Well, sure you do, and yes, but it's one soul at a time. He wants us to be a little bit more specific. Instead, America, come to their knees. Oh, that's just not going to happen. In fact, the opposite is going to happen. God is going to judge America. Did you know that? We have been given great privilege. And along with great privilege came responsibility, and we blew it. We turned our backs on God. Look what is happening today. Look what is happening in this state. Look what is happening in our nation. And you're going to say, God's not going to judge this nation? Come on. We have totally turned our backs upon God. Oh, how the people need to run towards the Lord now. That's the only salvation for this nation. And that one at a time, we would compel them to come. And that our parents, our grandparents would come to know the Lord. And that's the prayers we need to be praying. And then there's Uncle Henry. How do you pray for Uncle Henry? Man, I don't know, man. We don't know how to pray as we ought. We need to pray. We know that because men ought always to pray and not to faint. And prayer, of course, opens God's will to be done. And yes, we want God's will to be done. And so the Spirit comes to help us with what? Groanings, it says. Groanings. Likewise, the Spirit helps our weaknesses and the Spirit itself intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or understood is what it means there. Many believe that this refers to the gift of speaking in another language that you've never learned, that God just gives. It's part of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We had this gathering this last week where we laid hands on those that wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they received. And now that's the door that opens to all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of discerning of spirits, the gifts of wisdom and knowledge. The gifts of giving, and there's so many gifts. It just goes on and on and on. The gifts of speaking in an unknown language, of prophecy. I mean, it just there's so many. So it opens that door, and one of them is speaking in another tongue that you do not know of. So it's used in my prayer life when English is not enough, when thank you is not enough, when I am just so blessed by what God has done, I can pray in the Spirit and I'm just, it's a beautiful way to thank and to bless the Lord. And we'll see that in a moment where that's at. And it is. It's a beautiful way to express yourself in the Spirit. And then there's another time where you don't know how to pray. Jude says it this way. Jude, and Jude is the book, the little letter right before Revelation, Jude 20. He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So we can build ourselves up as we pray in the Spirit, in this gift that God gives to his children. You say, do I get to have this gift? Yeah, I'll ask him for it. And this is a gift that actually in 1 Corinthians 14:4, it says it will edify and build you up personally. Praying in the Spirit will edify you, build you up. I think this is a gift that God wants to give to his children throughout. He wants us all to be edified and built up. And so this is a good thing.
Well, it sure is. On that note, we'll draw this edition of Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson to a close. Would you like to hear today's message from Romans once again? You know, it couldn't be easier when you visit sounddoctrineradio.org or purchase the CD by calling 800-353-7553. That's 800-353-7553. Don't you wish life was smooth sailing from here to glory? The reality is we find ourselves in the midst of unpleasant, uncomfortable, and unwanted situations. The Bible calls them trials. So how should we respond to these trials? And what is the purpose of them? Is God still in control when we're hit with a trial or a storm of life? Can you have peace and joy when a trial strikes? Well, Pastor Jeff investigates this in a four-part series based in the last two chapters of Acts. It's called Shipwrecks and Snake Bites. Discover the Christian's response in crisis. You can request the series today by calling us at 800-353-7553 or just go online to sounddoctrineradio.org. And please remember, when you give to the ministry, you are helping us provide sound doctrine to listeners all across the world. Even a gift in the amount of a cup of coffee will help us greatly in that endeavor to get the word out in these last days. Again, go to sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. We want to hear what God is up to in your life and how He's using sound doctrine to help you in your walk. It's very encouraging to all of us here on the team. Email us at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Again, that's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. And let us know how we can pray for you as well. Come back next time when Pastor Jeff will return to our series in Romans here on Sound Doctrine. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father.